listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kurula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Wake Up Hollywood, this is your host of the most, Nikki Kurula. We're going to jump right into this interview. Here is songwriter and singer, Anna Delaria. Say hello, Anna.
Hey, everybody, how are you?
I love it, from the car. I love it. You're like, I'm on the go. We're going to do the interview right here.
Yes, I actually was just recording something, and we were so into the take and into the music that I was like, I just have to make sure we get it before I go. So
that's
I
awesome.
In my car, but it's for a good cause, I promise.
Okay, is this for a new song, or what's this? What are you working on?
Yeah, all new music. So we were in the studio for like 12 hours, I think. And initially I was like, I'll definitely run out. And then we just got so sucked into it. So I appreciate the flexibility, but it's exciting. I'm really stoked to be working on some new music.
That's awesome. So let's go way back. Where are you from?
I am from San Rafael. It's a small town about 20 minutes north of San Francisco proper. So the Bay Area.
I know San Rafael. That's a beautiful city. I have a good friend that's from there.
Amazing. Oh, that's so awesome.
Yeah, I think he teaches music up there. He teaches band. He's a great sax player, and he studied at UCLA jazz studies, and we became good friends. And I think he actually went back to his old high school, and his name was Sean Castle, and he teaches up in San Rafael. So small world. You may know some of the same people in the same circles, because that's not a big city. It's not a huge city at all.
No, that's incredible that you know someone up there, because it is small. It is very small.
I actually went up there for a concert to Shoreline, and then we went to San Rafael, and we hiked this like beautiful mountain. Do you know what I'm talking about? There's one mountain that's just, it's like everybody goes up there to like go see the sunset. It's like super, super beautiful.
Yeah, I want to say Mount Tam, maybe.
Yeah, that was it. That was totally it.
Perfect. It's gorgeous.
So how did you adjust from coming from such a beautiful place to coming to the hustle and bustle of LA? Tell me what that was like.
It was a change. It was definitely worth it though. So I ended up coming down to LA first for music school over at USC's popular music program. Yeah, fight on.
That's right. You can see my SC stuff, right? Wait, it's right over here.
Right there. Yeah, that's incredible. That's amazing. I also trekked down to Southern California for school. And then from there, just kind of been staying in LA. Obviously, it's the music hub of the city, but it definitely was quite a change from the small, quiet, kind of quaint town where music is alive, but not very out there, right? It's kind of just
how did you learn to get into music? Were your parents musical people? Was it kind of like, you know, you just got influenced by friends? How did you get into singing?
So I was self-taught. I grew up, and from the time I was probably 6 or 7, everything was really just kind of natural, in the sense that I just gravitated to particularly large voices. So singers like Aretha Franklin, love like Christina Aguilera, Lauryn Hill, all of these people that had really kind of emotive voices. And that actually kind of captured me into music as a whole, and then ultimately writing as well. So I was pretty much self-taught. And then there's an incredible voice coach up in the Bay who I had the privilege of studying under, who kind of was like, this is how the voice works. And that was basically how I got started.
How old are you?
Just like alone. I started singing when I was probably 6 or 7, not trained, so just alone, but actually like sitting down, learning songs, and then playing piano at 7, started writing my own songs at 8. And then from there, I'd say around the age of 13, started taking actual like lessons for singing in particular. I started piano, but I did not like I wish I had stuck with it. I did not like the classical training. I wanted to write my own music. So I was very intense on, I'm going to write my own songs, and that's how I'll learn. And that's ultimately what happened, and is still how I write many of the songs that you hear today. But classical music is beautiful, and I wish I stuck with it.
Well, I'll tell you, I actually studied classical music, and I studied opera, but I also took piano lessons, and I got bored with classical music on piano. Not because wow. I like didn't think the music was beautiful, but it was the same thing. So I actually quit playing piano and then came back to it when I was, I think, in high school. And it was the Beatles. The Beatles that, like, they just made me want to play piano because I listened to songs like Hey Jude and Let It Be. So it was like, I was like, I don't want to do any more classical music. I'm already still doing classical music, but I want to learn these Beatles songs. So I learned, like, all the Beatles songs I could, and that's what got me back into piano. So it's never too late to learn songs.
Exactly.
Right?
No, never. I love piano. That. That's such a cool story, and what a great song too to bring you back into it. Hey Jude is like, you can't go wrong with that at all.
Well, I don't know if you can see it, but I have a wall of Paul in my music room right behind me.
Oh, I didn't even notice that. That is amazing.
I got to meet him. I was recording of my first record, and he was across the hall recording his record, and he invited me into his session. I got to watch him record. So it was like full circle, being able to, like, you know, get back into piano. And then the guy that got me into piano was inviting me to, like, listen to him record. And so, like, music sometimes works like that. Wow. It takes you to weird places. So never stop learning and never stop practicing. That's the moral of this story. So you got into singing. What did you do for your audition out of curiosity for the pop music program?
Oof, that is a great question. Thank you. I actually did some weird songs. So I did Helter Skelter by the Beatles. So it's a
classic. Oh my God, that's awesome.
Yeah, I was obsessed. I was like, I love this. It's got attitude. I did that. And then I did Aretha, Drown in My Own Tears, which is also like a deep cut, I guess.
Yeah.
Very.
It's a Ray Charles tune.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. So her version of it like blew my mind. I did that. And then I did an original. So I was kind of like a double emphasis at USC in regards to songwriting and then music and voice and all of it. So we really tapped into a lot of different elements at school.
And when you were studying it at USC, because like the pop music program actually came about right after I left. I think it was about 2 or 3 years after I left. And so like, you know, it was like putting you in an environment where you're working with guitarists, you're working with bass players and drummers and in studio sessions. Tell me what that experience was like and how that lit the fire for you.
Another fantastic question. Hey. Awesome. It's so refreshing. Definitely, it was a wake-up call in a lot of the best ways. Like, I was not used to performing with musicians and having the tools around me. So I was so excited. I cannot tell you enough. I went a little overboard. I founded a band, and we had, like, 13 band members. And I was like, there's 2 drum players and 6
That's
dancers
awesome.
And 5 horn. Yeah, it was cool. It was awesome. I definitely loved having all access to all these musicians and collaborating with people. And I, especially coming from a small town, I was like, I never had this. So I definitely right. went overboard, but I loved every second of it.
And you were writing for this group? Were you writing in tandem with, like, were you doing co-writes for this, or how did it work?
Absolutely. So I started my own band. Gonna refrain from the name because I think there's stuff still online.
No, you got. No, I want to hear the first band name. Come on.
The first band name was Anna and the Static.
That's a cool name. That's a cool name. It's not
thank
bad.
Thank you. We tried. It was cool. It was very like we did a lot of time changes and signature. You know, different time signatures and key changes, and it was like every song was 6 minutes because I was clearly just like enamored by music and you know the. Piano player had a whole solo and I had all these backgrounds and it was wild, but it was my own music and I got to arrange it and really understand what it also takes to perform live in terms of directing a band and interacting with an audience and getting on stage, which was not something I had done before school at all, ever.
Wow. So that was awesome. So you were cutting your teeth doing it right then and there.
Yes, absolutely. Like communicating with musicians and expressing ideas and that ultimately led me into producing now, which is something that I love to do. And it's like I have all of those, you know, kind of instruments at the tip of my fingers. Obviously, it doesn't at all. It's not the same as live musicians and having someone there to really like collaborate with. But I do appreciate that experience for now enabling me to kind of produce my own music.
So did it make you want to start your own solo project and just kind of like not have too many cooks in the kitchen, not have too many players? Like, how did that change for you?
Yeah, so I think I wanted to move into a little bit more of a contemporary direction, and it became apparent that in order to do that, I needed to kind of explore what I wanted sonically without, dragging people through different sounds and genres. And the way that I dove into that was by using Logic and just kind of, which is a DAW for production. Anybody out there diving into music, highly recommend it.
Yeah,
But
I was just using Logic just now for a session.
incredible,
Love it.
incredible. That's amazing. Yeah, that's how I got started. I just kind of decided, and it was really amicable with the band that I was working with, and it was just time to start to dive into sessions in the more contemporary way of, you meet with a producer and you really workshop ideas that way. So that was definitely a new experience, but one that I'm really grateful for.
So did it change the way you were like fired up for writing in a different way? Because it becomes more about you instead of like the band. I know the difference. So,
Yeah.
like did it change the way you were kind of like writing and what you were writing for? Were you targeting a different demographic? Was it like, a different experience creatively? Tell me a little bit about that.
Absolutely. Another fantastic question. Thank you.
Hitting them out in the park.
I love it. No, I'm just like, wow, I haven't thought about that.
Well, I'll give you a little backstory on this radio show. So I've done a ton of TV shows and radio interviews, and I still do a bunch of them, but I got really tired of getting asked a lot of dumb questions by just people that didn't do their homework. And that's
Yeah.
why I started this. So I've been doing this for like 6, 7 years. I've had like Grammy winners, I've had Oscar nominated filmmakers and all kinds of people on here. And it's really just because like I feel like the best interviews are artists interviewing artists, where you can get into the nitty gritty and talk real about what is going on in the industry. So, yeah, talk to me. Let me hear
Absolutely.
what you're like really passionate about as far as the writing.
Definitely. Well, and I just to kind of piggyback off of that, I think that's incredible. And reading the bio of the show and just like the work you've done is amazing. And I'm also just like honored to be here. So thank you for having me.
No worries.
But yeah, the writing stuff, it definitely changed in terms of forcing me to really actually know what I want, which I will advise. Like, I think it's easy as an artist or a singer or a writer or whatever to think like I know exactly, like I like whether it's soul music or rock or metal or pop. It's really easy to kind of say I know what I want, but when you have to actually explain it or put the drums behind it or a specific part, it kind of pushes you to really, really figure out what it is you want and what you want to say and how you want to express, whether it's concept, like lyrically or musically. So it definitely pushed me to a place where I was able to kind of ask myself, like, what do I really want here versus having an incredible guitar player or drummer or bass player or keys, like whoever it was, kind of fill that gap for me and be like, oh, here's what could go here. It actually forced me to really think about how do I want to express what I'm trying to say in my own way, without having, any feedback to all like help me or also, kind of add something that I might not have known I didn't want at the time or I did want. So it enabled me to really kind of create a sound that feels truly authentic to myself.
I think a lot of it too. It's really hard to be in a band where everybody sees the same vision. The music is one thing, but it's also just like the amount of work or the amount of time anybody wants to put in. It's going to vary because people are getting kind of like pushed and pulled by all these different projects or their own dreams or whatever. So to actually be in a band and like see one vision, that is one of the most difficult things. So I
Absolutely.
completely understand where you're coming from. I love that you just like made it more about you and made it more about like the things you want out of music. Now I read in your bio that you made a recording on your iPhone that went onto the
Yes.
show, Younger. My girlfriend loves that show. Tell me about that process and tell me like what it took for you to like make the song and how did you do it? You did it on GarageBand or what did you do it on your phone?
I literally tracked a voice memo, kind of like this. I guess it was, I think all the best things happen when I'm like in the moment. Like I'm just like, have to get this idea out. And I was actually on the train. I work with an incredible composer and supervisor, Chris Allen Lee, who I love and I'm so grateful for. And he actually found me initially as a vocalist and was just kind of like, how, like, can you sing this thing? And then he was like, oh, you can write. And he was, which is rare for, especially as a vocalist, like normally you just kind of get seen as the singer. So I am very grateful. But he allowed me to just like share any and all ideas. And one of those ideas was this song called Boulder. And I had written it on a train to San Diego. And I just kind of like sent him a voice memo of like the chorus. It was like, push, pull me tighter. Just like, here's what we have. And he sent it to the supervisors of the show and they loved it. And they placed it in the finale, which I had no idea was happening. And it aired, and it was kind of wild because it took off pretty much. And we had, you know, like all of these, like TuneFind Shazam contacted me and was like, hello, we've heard that you are the author of the song and like people are looking for it. So it was really cool to kind of also take back the idea that everything has to be perfect and really recognize that something that's just sincere and raw can also resonate just as well as something that's polished and you spend hours on. So it was a nice lesson in that.
And it must have been exciting to see your song in the show because you're like waiting for is it going to happen? Is it going to actually work out? And then boom, it happens. Tell me what that feeling was like.
It was surreal. It's definitely to see music connected with a plot that people love, as someone who like loves dramas and, you know, I've been watching Grey's Anatomy since I was like, what, 14? I don't know, like 13.
Classic.
Like, exactly. Shows that have a lot of meaning. And you know, like that one song, everyone knows that How to Save a Life in so many shows, it like hits, you know? And I think to have songs that create those moments for viewers and dedicated, you know, fans that really curate a moment is so surreal. And that was actually when I realized I was also passionate about, you know, film and TV and a lot of the music I've done since, especially in this most recent finale and season of Younger has kind of allowed for me to realize that that's also a passion when it comes to creating and artistry and writing and all of that. So it's been amazing.
Well, it's like a marriage of like sound and vision, you know, it's like,
yeah,
you make the music and then you see it kind of sculpt scene. And when it works, because I mean, I've also had songs where it was put into a scene and sometimes it didn't really fit. You know, I was like happy to get the paycheck, but I'm like, what a weird sync to put that song to that scene, but whatever, it worked, you know, but it's really neat when you see something that you're like, oh, I can see this really painting the scene, and then it actually does paint the scene. That must have been exhilarating.
Absolutely. Yeah, exhilarating is the right word for sure. It was surreal. It was so amazing, and I'm so grateful to this day for that opportunity.
So does it shape your writing when you're writing now? Do you think of scenes or kind of do target kind of situations or maybe dramas that you may see on TV or movies? How does that shape your writing?
Oh, great. Another amazing question. I'm just like, all of these questions. Yeah, it definitely shapes it. I would say I'm going to just pop this extra light for support. It as the sun, the beautiful sun goes down, it shapes my writing in terms of trying to prioritize the emotion of a song, I think, for sure. And also the music, really, like the chords and what harmonies are chosen to, you know, emphasize an emotion and a feeling. It depends. Like if I'm writing for film and TV, it's a very different experience. And if I'm, you know, have my own project and a ballad gets licensed or placed in a show, which happened actually this last fall with Love Island, a song that I had actually not put out, unfortunately, was placed, which was incredible. But also I was like, I hope that you guys can find it. And it was really emotional. It was a song that I actually had just kind of put away. I was like, I don't know if anyone will resonate. And to see people connect with it and also be like, this is comforting to know I'm not alone is the most amazing thing, especially when it's, again, paired with a storyline and characters that people are already connected to. It kind of gives your song an extra lift, which is amazing.
That's awesome. Yeah, you know, it's interesting to see how, you know, it is a perfect marriage between any kind of TV show and film. And it's like, without that, you don't really have the scene sometimes. So it's kind of neat when you have that, you realize that you're adding the drama. And the cool thing about like being songwriters, I always, you know, talk to people about this. Like, you get to be an actor for a day. You get to be an actress for a day. You get to like change characters and write from that perspective. That's like the coolest part of acting in a lot of ways. You get to like empathize and be that person and write from that perspective. And that's what I love about songwriting, is that it can, you can get that kind of like sensation of acting, but you're actually more true to the emotional part of it because you are the emotional part of it. You know, it's like you're the music. So I love when people tell me that they write for, you know, scenes, or they think about that, because that aesthetic is, it's just like, it's a different narrative when you're writing than when you're putting music out as a songwriter, you're putting it out as like an observer or an artist, or like trying to like get a reaction for what you do artistically from that perspective. So I like that you switch gears. You're able to switch gears in a heartbeat. Let's listen to something. What do you want to play us first?
I would love to start off with one of the more recent songs. This is called Cut You Loose. And it was inspired, I think, just by this idea of mostly a feeling of like when you finally cut ties with someone in your life that was, you know, toxic, for lack of a better word. And the liberation, or the feeling of like, wow, I did that. And yet that person who maybe had threatened you for a while, saying like, you'd never do it, or if you do it, I'm never coming back, actually ends up, you know, kind of circling back around. And it's this question of, you know, what's happening? And I can't believe I did this awesome thing. That's really simultaneously empowering. So this is Cut You Loose.
Awesome. Here's Cut You Loose by Anna Delaria.
Bye.
Yeah, I was jamming. Love it.
Woo, thank you.
Tell me about shooting the video. I love that you just did it like on the fly like that. Or at least that's the way it looked. Yeah. Tell me how that process went down.
That was very much on the fly. That was actually in the middle of, oh my goodness, kind of in the middle of the pandemic. And we decided to go ahead and just like walk around LA and try our best to film. And it worked out. I mean, it definitely came together, but for a while it was a little sketchy, you know, back when we were like, is the world going to open up again? And it was just a nice way to blow off some steam amidst, you know, all of the chaos that was the last year.
That's amazing. I love that when the creators are being creative during the pandemic, because it was crazy to kind of stay inspired and let that creative energy kind of take over, you know, because the whole world shut down. So I love that you found a way to do that. And how many days did it take for you to shoot? Did you just shoot it all in one day?
We shot it all in one day. It was a long day and it was a hot day out here in LA. You know, I love this city, but she was hot that day. It was a lot. And it was really fun. It was with Matthew Allen, who is an incredible editor, director, you know, cinematographer. And he just grabbed his camera and we just kind of frolicked around all these amazing, beautiful places around LA. And it was so fun.
That's awesome. I love the production in the song too. Cool little guitar riff. You definitely got like a lot of, I don't know if you are influenced by her, but Natasha Bedingfield, it's got that vibe. Like it's kind of like cool pop. Definitely has that vibe. It's very fresh. I love it. I love
her.
That's
amazing. Thank you.
I saw her play live like maybe like a year and a half ago. And I was like so blown away. So that's a huge compliment because you really know how to sing and make a song pop.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. That means so, so much. I love Natasha. She is queen of queens. So thank you.
So let me ask you. So for that song, it was a kind of a painful song. How did you turn it into kind of like a dance club pop mix? How did that change the vibe of the song?
That definitely, I think it started, honestly, we had this riff, this bum, 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 and that was produced by the incredible Zach Jurek, who is amazing. And I was just sitting there in the studio and we were like, this feels, you know, angsty, and I had the chorus melody come to mind and it was like bitter, and I kind of had just been going through something where, you know, you have all these moments where you're just like, what do? I can't do this because I'll never see them again. And it's all of the things where you stay quiet or you just kind of allow, you tolerate the negativity. And so I kind of was like, I want the verses to express that frustration and the chorus just to be like, oh, after all of the fear and the what if of like, what if I let you go and I'll never see you again? Like the irony of the song is almost like that person still comes around. And it's almost like, I think a lot of people get stuck in this position of, if I say bye to this person, I'll regret it, or it'll be like this terrible thing. And it was a beautiful realization to kind of see, oh, they're actually still coming around being like, you can't let me go. And it's almost double empowering in that way.
Love it. Love it. You know, I love when artists take something sad and they make it something beautiful and kind of fun, because there's a tension that, you know, you have something like gut-wrenching and then you have it also disguised with happy music. I do that all the time in my own stuff. So it's like, I love that combination because it's like, you can get people dancing. You're like, this is my heartache, but you're going to love it because you're going to want to boogie to it. And I just think that's awesome. So you got the right approach. I love this. I love this.
Thank you. Yeah, no, it's such a cool thing to just kind of take it and run with it and see what happens. And in this case, it worked out.
So are you influenced by like current pop artists like Billie Eilish, or are you like keeping your finger on the pulse like that? Or do you kind of feel like you want to do more throwback stuff, kind of like on the edge of like pop, what's happening now, and then kind of like the stuff that you love?
I am definitely influenced by, I think actually, ironically enough, to the question, older influences. For a while, I was really, really, I love exploring pop music. And I think pop music as a genre and a definition is evolving, which is so exciting. It's not, you know, it's not like your classic, like, da, 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 like simple hook and simple production. It's become very much truly about like contemporary, what's popular, kind of like, you know, the Beatles back in the 60s, which is exciting, where it doesn't have to have a mechanical sound. And so I still consider a lot of what I'm making pop music for sure. And melodies are very much in that style. For me, I have kind of started to get passionate about intertwining some of my influences of R&B music, which is like my heart and soul. And I'm so excited to share this next batch of music. I can hardly wait. And that's kind of where the focus has turned. I couldn't be happier with it.
That's awesome. Well, let's play something else. What do you want to play us next?
Let's switch up gears. Let's go ahead. And I want to share Sorry Doesn't Work, which is a little bit more of a stripped approach here. Definitely a little bit more emotional, but something that's super close to my heart.
Awesome. Sorry Doesn't Work. This is it by Anna Delaria.
Raised my voice. It all happened so fast. Wish I could take it back, but it's a little too late for that. Broke your trust, left you in the dark. Took a couple steps too far, now here we are. What can I tell you when there's no words left to say? What can I give you to make the pain go away? 'Cause baby, there's so much that you deserve to hear. Wish that I could make the feeling disappear. What can I tell you to stop the hurt when sorry doesn't work? When sorry doesn't work. The door, I was in the wrong. I knew it all along. Please don't tell me we're too far gone. You've been so patient with all my mistakes. Promised you one day I'd change. I know this ain't the first time I'm the one to blame. What can I tell you when there's no words left to say? What can I give you to make the pain go away? 'Cause baby, there's so much that you deserve to hear. Wish that I could make the feeling disappear. What can I tell you to stop the hurt when sorry doesn't work? Ooh, when sorry doesn't work. Run out of ways, run out of ways. What can I tell you when there's no words left to say? What can I give you to make the pain go away? 'Cause baby, there's so much that you deserve to hear. Wish that I could make the feeling disappear. What can I tell you to stop the hurt? But so
doesn't work. Very nice. Love the vocal licks. Very, very good.
Thank you so much.
So that was all live? Was that all one take?
Yeah, that was all one take. It was
fantastic.
We had a couple tries, so there was that, but that was all one take from one of the several tries.
Yeah, you know, I just did a live video shoot like that, and it is, I was going to have my whole band do it, and I'm like, this is going to be crazy for a whole band to do this all in one take like this in the amount of time that we have. So I just did it solo.
Yeah.
And even that, I was like, this is bonkers. It was exhausting. How many tracks did you do? Just one?
We did two songs. But in terms of the recording process, we did just me and the guitar, and then I had a track with some of the backgrounds in it. So we just had that running in the background, but it was just me and him. That's Johnny Sim, who is incredible. And we did about, I think for that one, we only had two takes. So it was kind of like you got one warm up
awesome.
And then one to go. And that second one is the one we went with.
Super, super awesome. I loved it. Every part of that song was great. The melody, the lyrics, the vocal, the guitar part, everything just works. Do you have a recording like that, just stripped down like that, or is it more produced?
The recording is pretty stripped down. So we ended up just keeping it simple. The only thing that is added are some like more heavy backgrounds. I am a big fan of vocal arrangements. So I definitely think that the full version is a little bit cooler in terms of like there's a lot of strings and vocals coming in to help fill some of those like emotional spaces, but overall it is definitely stripped down.
I love that you're so focused on the writing and the artist part, and you're not too swayed by the TV shows like The Voice and American Idol. Did you ever get through like a phase of your career where you just wanted to try those things, or were you always just like, nah, this is not what I want. I want to be an artist. I want to write. I want to, you know, write the songs I sing.
Yeah, that's a great question. I definitely try to be very conscientious of, ultimately, like some of those shows don't offer the best legally arrangements, and so part of it was also like I want to make sure that I have access to my music, you know, if things work out, or be able to have the freedom to release things and all of that. But the voices on those shows are incredible, and I am always amazed. But I think for me, I was really focused on how do I kind of fine-tune the artistry and the message behind it, and pursue that a little bit more aggressively. So it was just kind of a choice to lay low in that regard. I'll always in support of the singers on those shows because they are incredible.
Well, it sounds like the writing was more important, you know, and that's what I really love. It's like, you know, you could definitely have been on those shows and you would have been fine. This is my bulldog, Otis. He likes to come in here and say hello.
He's so cute. He's oh, my so goodness.
Hold on, I'll see if I can pick him up. Hold on a second. Come here, Otis. Can you see him?
A little bit.
Wait, well, he's... Anyways, that's a good sign. When he comes in for an interview, it means you're good. Because he's just like, what's going on in here? Anyways.
Yeah, he's like, I approve.
Yeah, no, he does that in sessions. Like, I'll be in the middle of a vocal or I'll be producing somebody and he'll just walk in. But, like, he's like our good luck charm. He's like, okay, something's going on here that's good. He senses it, so he just comes in here to say hello. It's awesome. Anyways.
That's incredible.
Yeah, you got the vocal chops to, like, hang with any of those singers that are on those shows. But I love and respect that it was about the writing. I went through the same thing. I was just like, not into doing those shows. And I had so many people telling me, oh, you should audition for this. And I would go to some of them and I would hate them. I would hate the cattle call of it. And you know, I think I did the first year of America's Got Talent, and we advanced and we got all these interviews. And then one of the producers called me. They're like, we're going to kind of make it more of like a circus. Like there's going to be like a lot of really like bad people that they want to show on TV to get the ratings up. And I'm like, yeah, that's not what it is. So like when I watched the first season of America's Got Talent, they had like a bunch of like they had like these gypsies up there with like ponies and like doing like weird like just to be booed. They had a lot of people up there just to be booed, and it was just it was like that's when I realized I'm like there's parts of Hollywood that I just don't care about. It's just not worth that. And I remember the last time I could have auditioned for American Idol, I was opening for Dave Matthews. And I was like, if that's not a sign, then I don't know what else is. So, you know.
Yeah, really, no, like, absolutely not.
It's about the writing. I mean, it comes down to like, you know, do you want to sing somebody else's songs and have a team of people telling you what songs to sing? Or do you want to write your own songs, put your own stuff out there, and know that you're a badass enough to hang with any people that they're going to hire to write for you? So I respect that so much that the writing became that important. I hope you never lose that. Please never lose that, because honestly, you know, it's easy to be swayed by what's happening in the industry on the other side of the fence, you know. And you know, like when you're making stuff, like even right now you're making stuff in the studio, it's not like this huge fanfare of applause, or you know, you don't get this perception in the same way, but you know you're making something good. So just always stick to your guns, because that's so huge. And that is what has always worked for me. So that's a little advice from an older musician to a younger musician, because I believe in your talents. Let's play something else. What are you going to play us next?
Well, first of all, thank you so much. That is incredibly kind, and I so appreciate it. And I agree in terms of that authenticity with writing. So thank you. That means a lot, especially coming from you.
No, you can write. You can write. You can sing. You can do all of it. Keep playing, though. I want you to play. You should be playing those instruments and working out those parts whenever you can, you know?
Yes, absolutely. No, I love that. I love that. I was going to say, which leads me to the next one, but we had some fun playing with synths on this one. So this last one is called Ice Cream, and it's a lot more fun. It's kind of like tongue-in-cheek, you know. It's got some character to it. It's definitely out there, but I love it. This was kind of the end of the summer. I just wanted to put something that felt kind of funky and different, and so this was done with myself and an incredible producer. His name is Dylan. He also goes by Lost Boy, and yeah, it's just super fun. I'm excited to share it with you.
Before we play it, though, I have to know your favorite ice cream, because that's important.
That is important. Listen, I'm a sucker for anything chocolate or caramel. Like, I love, like, fudge, you know, anything that's there. So, like, all the caramel-infused peanut butter, like, all of those flavors are that's my jam. What about you?
I'm like going through this ginormous cookies and cream phase. Like, I don't know what it is, but cookies and cream.
Okay.
I'm like going throwback. I don't know what it is, but if I had to choose my favorite, like, new flavor, there's a place called, I don't know if you've ever been to Jenny's Blended Ice Creams on Larchmont. Pretty awesome.
Wow. No, I haven't, but that sounds amazing.
You'd love this. They have it's a salted peanut butter. It's a peanut butter salted chocolate ice cream. And it is amazing. So definitely try it.
Wow.
Yeah, I think you'll dig it.
I'm obsessed already. Yeah, I have to go. I'm going to have to get that, look up the address for that later. I got to go.
Well, here's Ice Cream by Anna Delaria.
Awesome.
Love is good for something, right? Because I'm feeling every night, am I caught up in a heat wave? Don't we do the same shit on a different day? I scream, you scream, and
I like that ending. That's a little dirty.
Thank you. It's
pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. So I got to tell you, as an adult, I was looking at that and I was like, who's going to clean up all this ice cream? So tell me how, where, what made you inspired to do this video?
Oh my gosh. I have to give all the credit to an incredible friend and amazing, again, editor, director, cinematographer, all of the things, Lily Judge, who is incredible. And she kind of like heard the song and she was like, we have to do a video, which was an amazing privilege because she's just absolutely incredible. And she shot it all. She had these ideas and she was like, I want ice creams and we're going to do a Sunday scene. And I was like, listen, does that mean that we get to eat some of the ice cream? In that case, I'm down always.
We're going to get along great.
Yeah, exactly. I was just like, anytime if there's chocolate involved, I'm there. And
you should see my house. I've got chocolate in every corner. I've got chocolate around. Just, I feel like that chocolate and coffee and ice cream are like the jams, like all time. So
yes, with the snap. Yes.
That's right. That's right. So she had you do it. Where did you do it? Where did you shoot it at?
We shot it at this house that was just kind of had all these funky colors that we love. And it was amazing. It had like all of these, it was just like the perfect amount of rooms. This was another pandemic shoot. So we were limited and, you know, like wearing masks, and that was a whole experience. We did like outside. It just kind of was like, I'm going to frolic around. I guess that's the theme. And just be fun with it. And it's just kind of like fun and flirty and supposed to just be something you just kind of like vibe out to. And it was amazing to work with her and just kind of be creative and do stuff that wasn't attached to like some really strict, you know, emotion. It was more about like the energy, which I value as equally as, you know, a good emotional story. I think just having a good energy song, as cliche as it sounds, is, you know, so significant. And we did have to clean it up. So once we finished, we cleaned it all up and it was a long cleanup. But
I don't believe you, not even one bit. I bet you were like, all right, I can't, I need to go wash up. And then somebody else cleaned it up.
Because again, pandemic, it was her and I, just her and I doing the shoot. And I have background footage that I think later on my Instagram, it's somewhere up there, but it's her just in the back going like, yes, all night. It was just her and I back and forth shooting these scenes and that's making crazy. A mess. And then it was like 1 a.m. and we were like, oh, I guess we got to clean it all up. So that was the vibe. It was so fun.
Well, the funny thing too, I was like, you know, I was thinking, here's the other thought. These are the thoughts I have like behind the scenes. You had so many scoops of ice cream out. I'm like, who's going to eat all this ice cream? Like, that's a lot of ice cream. And you got crazy flavors. You had cereal. I saw cereal toppings. I was like, this is like ice cream to the max. There's no way two or three people are eating all this ice cream. So
yep.
I know that there was all. And how did you choose what flavors you wanted? Because you got colors. You had all kinds of cool colors.
Yeah, you have a great eye. I love that. I mean,
I love movies, like, TVs. Amazing. I love details. Details are everything.
Incredible. No, I value that so much and I appreciate it. And I know Lily would as well. We actually chose Talenti brand because their cups were see-through, not to give it away, but we wanted to make sure the colors were really transparent to match the energy of the song and kind of to emphasize the importance of like the popness of the colors and the flavors. And so we chose like one of every color and they were delicious. I have to say, I was like, you need me to do another take? No problem. Here we go. It was great.
And when did you write the song? Like how did you find Ice Cream to be kind of your muse, which I love. You know, there's only two songs I know that are about ice cream. And one of my other favorite artists, he wrote a song. His name's Chris Pierce. He wrote a song called Everybody Loves the Ice Cream Man. And I was like, what a great concept. And then you are the second person that's written about ice cream. And I'm like, dude, you cannot not love a song about ice cream. So tell me how ice cream is your muse.
Right. Yeah, no, I love that. It was actually like this hook that we had of like ice cream, you scream. So it's kind of this, the story behind it is like, you know, when you're with someone who, it was almost like in a way fictional, infused with like my own experiences of sometimes you become closer with someone through an argument in a way. And in this case, we made it really flirty and fun, but it was almost this like I scream, you scream. Like, literally, we both are screaming. And then it just leads to, like, a deeper connection or, like, just, like, a fun night, whatever it is. But I think in either way, it's kind of this cool fusion of the ice cream. Like, you know, ice cream is delicious. And it's also, that's a really, really well-known saying of just, like, ice cream, you scream, we all scream for ice cream. Like, we all... you know, it's like the flavor and all of that connected really nicely with that idea of like, we go back and forth, but still we end up in this thing, which, you know, not to try to make ice cream deeper than it is. But I was like, you know what? I don't really meet many people who don't love ice cream. So we can all connect on that. And that is something.
Ice cream is a great, like, you know, it's a therapist on some level, you know, it's like the world is going to shit. Have some ice cream and everything will be all
right. Yeah. Yeah. I don't, you want dairy free, you want vegan, you want anything you have. There's all out ice there. Cream for everything.
Yeah. I've been in this. Have you ever made banana ice cream?
No.
Like, it's crazy. There's like, not to go off topic, but if you want healthy ice cream, you can take frozen bananas and blend them up and you can put different ingredients and it's like the healthy ice cream and it tastes like soft serve yogurt. I mean, it's crazy. So, like, during the week, I'll do that if I, like, really want some ice cream fetish. But then when I want my ice cream, it's the weekend. I'm like, let's do some ice cream.
Yeah, let's go for it. I love that. I'll have to try that. That's incredible. I had no idea that was a thing.
I'll email you some recipes. You'll love it. You'll be like, what is this? It's crazy. I'm a fan of just good food, good music, good people, and good vibes. That's all I care about. So
I love it. That's incredible. It's amazing.
Well, where can people find you to, you know, ask you about when your next shows are, to listen to your music? Where can people find you on social media? Give me all the handles.
Amazing. So you can find me basically, if anyone Googles my name, it's Anna, A-N-N-A, Dellaria, D as in dog, E-L-L-A-R-I-A. We got that Italian last name.
I was about to ask you. That's my next question, but go ahead.
Yeah. So very Italian. But that, all the socials are linked to that name. So Anna Dellaria, Instagram, Twitter, Spotify, YouTube, TikTok, all of the things. It's Anna Dellaria. Music might be the only word that's added on, but you can find all of the music there, or literally simple search on Google will just like link you right to everything in front of you. But that's where you can find the music most importantly. And I'm always, always love when fans and listeners reach out on the socials to be like, I love this song, you know, I connected with it. And that's my entire goal. And it means the world. The biggest thing in life is to know that a song that I wrote and just kind of put out there has resonated or moved someone in some way, whether it's like to dance your butt off, or to cry in the car and scream. both equally valuable and equally like make my entire life. So I'm always stoked when people connect.
Well, we're definitely gonna have to collaborate. You're wonderful. Your name actually means of the operatic solo. That's what your name means. You were meant to be a singer. You were definitely meant to be a singer. Have you been to Italy before?
I have not been to Italy. I would love to go when, you know, hopefully, you know, things are a little bit more normal and everyone's like, we're back to normal already, but I'm just like dipping my toes in the water. But I love that you notice that. And that's like, you, these questions are incredible. You are incredible. I'm just like, so likewise, impressed likewise with, you know, the fact that you even know of the air and of the Aria and all of that is wild. So, yeah, I just want to thank you again, like so much for the incredible thoughts and thoughtfulness.
No problem. And you know what, anytime you have a release or you have something going on, come back, because that's what we love. We love having a relationship with our guests that we keep on having them come back. So, you know, and we're going to have to work together. That's just how this is going to work, because we both went to USC. You're Italian. Italy's my favorite European country. I've been there so many times. I love Italy. It is just,
oh my God,
it's the best. It really is. You have to go. You're from like one of the most beautiful places in the world, really. So you must go when things kind of chill out. Take your trip to Italy, because that'll be your like your the you know the carrot that's dangling ahead of your musical journey. The next big accomplishment, you're going to Italy on a trip. There you go. Boom.
Yeah, that's it. That's literally it. I know. Thank you for planning my life. This is like, yes, Italy is the top of the list.
That's right, as it should be. As it should be. Well, you're a wonderful artist.
Definitely.
You're a wonderful artist. You're a wonderful singer-songwriter. I hope more people get wind of what you're doing creatively, because I honestly think you're fantastic. And I don't just say that. I really don't. You can tell if I'm not entertained by the guest or when I am, and you're definitely very entertaining on all levels. And I hope that you keep making music. Don't ever stop. Please don't ever let the industry tell you one thing or show you another thing to make you stop, because we need artists like you. So keep doing your thing, okay?
Thank you so much. It means the world. And again, like, thank you for having me on the show. It means so incredibly much. I'm so grateful. I don't take the opportunity lightly. And I would love to come back with the new music. And I just appreciate, again, the questions are amazing. And I appreciate you giving the platform to artists that are, kind of trying to get their music out there and spread the word. So thank you so very much.
That's what it's all about. And next time we'll probably be in the studio. So we'll have you come in the studio and actually do a proper interview where you're out of the car and I'm out of my music room.
I know.
So we'll do it like that.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Hopefully by that point, I'll be playing the song that was made whilst in the car earlier. So
I'd love to hear it. I can't wait. I look forward to it. Okay. On behalf of Anna, Ronan, and myself, we'll see you guys next week. Thank you, Anna, for being such a wonderful guest. And we'll see you guys next Tuesday, 8 o'clock. Wake up, Hollywood. We out.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Corulla and Eddie Pence. Right here on LA Talk Radio.